The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good afternoon.
Welcome
to We the People Radio.
I can't hear myself. Well, that's better.
We can hear you, though.
Oh, you can hear me?
After all that, you can't hear yourself?
Yeah. Boy, no excuse.
We've actually been sitting here for 20 minutes, unlike normal when we came running in the door.
Yeah, we got here early.
So you are joining Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, Bill.
Doing a little pre-record here. So we have a couple of guests today. We're going to do something.
So in other words, if you're listening to this, don't call in.
Don't call in.
Don't call in.
Exactly.
And the chat room's down.
Probably, too. Actually, there might be people in there using the chat room when this airs.
Oh, they're welcome.
I just wanted to let folks know we are going to tackle, again, more sensitive stuff today. So we're talking about the illegal alien situation as it relates to crime. And not just property crime, because we all know there's plenty of that. You hear about the, you know, cars being stolen and stuff like that. But there are a lot of people being killed by illegal aliens. So we've got two folks on here with us today. We have Maria Espinoza, who is with the Remembrance Project. You can find them at theremembranceproject.org. And I like the subheading, I guess, if you will. It says, every state is a border state. And that's pretty true. Depending on, it just doesn't depend on where you live anymore. I mean, it used to be California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas. Those guys pretty much were overrun. But now it's everywhere because we're shipping people all over the country. And then we have Jamil Shah on the line, who's going to join us just a wee bit after Maria. And his son was actually killed back in 2008 by an illegal alien. His son was 17 years old, walking home, doing nothing. You know, daytime, regular neighborhood. Their story has kind of an interesting twist because they got a lot of support from political figures in the community until people found out he was an illegal alien. And I think you will be blown away to find out how the table turned on them, which is just shocking and, I don't know, I don't even know if disheartening is the word. I guess I kind of expect it anymore. So, Maria, let's start with you. How'd you get involved in this anyway?
Oh, good morning, Aaron and Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
Well, we started the Remembrance Project in 2009 because my husband and I saw and heard things on the television where Americans were being killed. And actually, I guess we didn't even think about illegal aliens. It's just that the same thing continued to take place. There was a drinking and driving involved, a crash, fleeing of fleeing from the scene, and 911 was not called. And every now and then, you would see a follow up where the person fled to Mexico. So we started doing our own research, and also in Houston, there were five police officers who were killed at that time by illegal aliens.
Maria, I hate to interrupt. Where are you calling from? Where do you live?
I'm in Houston, Texas.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Yes, thank you. And so that's really what started our curiosity and started doing our research. And my father was born in Mexico, and he came here the right way years ago. And I just feel there's a front door for everyone, and I just can't get my head around the fact that our borders are not being secured and our immigration laws are not being upheld. And the more we looked into this issue, the more we realized that the killings of Americans by illegal aliens are completely preventable, and that just wasn't getting across our televisions or our radio, you know, to the people. And no one was doing anything about it. Not the killings. They weren't advertising. They were not talking about the killings and concerned about stopping it.
Now, you say that nothing was being done about it. Nothing was being done about it because they were illegals or because they just couldn't catch the perpetrators?
The issue of illegal immigration is a matter of lawlessness. And that is what we just didn't understand, why there were so many Americans who were killed by illegal aliens, and that killing was preventable. And yet our legislators, you know, law enforcement, even some of our sheriffs, are not protecting Americans.
Yeah, because as long as we let people come into our country, and they're breaking the law when they do it. You know, people say, I had a meeting with a couple ladies the other day who were very upset that we let, you know, we make people stay in detention centers, that we don't just let these kids who come flooding across the border just go wherever they want. And they should. And I said, well, who's going to watch them? Well, their parents.
Right.
I said,
right.
Okay, so if you can hold on to a little kid's hand and you can cross the border, then you're home free? And they didn't really have an answer for that. But I pointed them towards some of the information folks will be learning on the show, because I just gotten done talking to Jamil's sister. And I said, you know, I don't think this is as happy a little situation as you think. Folks come in here just to work and make their life better. There's a whole different...
Well, I think that's what Marie is alluding to, is the only one side of this illegal alien story is being told by our media, and that's the poor children being held in camps, but you don't hear the other side.
Well, because this, yeah, you...
Absolutely. Now, you know, and we focus on the most egregious, which is the loss of life, and yet we, our American families cannot even get our legislators and all to give them the very basic, which is follow the Constitution and uphold current laws in order to protect our families, you know, for our safety and welfare of our families.
And why do you think that is?
You know, there are several reasons. I believe it's a political correctness. There is a, I would say, a liberal agenda, you know, and I'm a former Democrat. However, on this issue, it seems like I'm now the so-called right, you know, just because I want to protect our families and our country.
You've turned, it makes you a crazy right-winger, huh?
It does, and, you know, I have gone to, I would call, like, liberal workshops where they talk about their organizing. And this is an agenda, and I think that people don't understand. We are so nice here. We're so compassionate. You know, but we the reason that America is exceptional is because we do have this etiquette of, you know, following the law. This is what we do. You know, look at Mexico. That, you know, I just read some articles about there's a lot of killings and police killing and assassinating candidates, political candidates.
Oh, whoops.
Exactly. So, you know, we don't want what's in Mexico. Excuse me.
Maria's down.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, Maria, I
got a little something.
It's that darn jogging.
I grew up in the Sacramento Valley, and a lot of my early jobs, I worked with a lot of illegal aliens. And back then, it was pretty much an accepted practice to hire illegals. And I think part of it was the fact that there wasn't this lopsided just overflow of people coming across the border. And it certainly wasn't a right or left thing. It was strictly folks coming across to make money for their families in Mexico and going home during the holidays and then coming back to
right.
work. It was pretty much just a work thing back then. But it has kind of transcended into a right-wing, left-wing, more of a political football now. And in the meantime, the floodgates are open. Is that kind of what you're seeing?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the ranchers will be the first to tell you that's exactly what's happening. And there is a different element they're saying that's coming across that border. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a huge criminal element that comes, and it's not just from Mexico. It's from a lot of other countries, too.
Absolutely. And just about 2 weeks ago, we were testifying in Austin, and there was a Border Patrol agent who said that they will get a list from Honduras of wanted killers. And whenever they catch one along the border, here coming into the United States, they can't hold them.
What?
Because they cannot hold them because they don't have charges or not wanted in the United States.
And so we let them go here?
We let them free to go on.
Because they haven't committed any crimes here.
Exactly.
Yikes.
Yet.
And that this is what the people don't know. You know, we're trying to get the word out, and these border agents, their union, this particular agent is the president of the union, so he can speak out. However, it's just simply not enough. And again, you know, what media was there to cover? No one. There was no one there to share his words and for them to pressure the legislators into passing good laws. You know, that's just non-existent.
Right.
You have special interest groups who own many of these legislators, and the American people have no idea what's taking place.
Right. You know, Maria, I work with a young man who is, he's Mexican. He's a legal citizen of the United States, just like you and I. But I was having a conversation with him today prior to going on the air about what we were going to talk about, and I really wish I could have got him on the air because he had a little different perspective on this, being his family came over as illegals, but the entire time they were here, it was a process to become legal. And through a series of events and many years of work, they were able to become citizens. And he's proud to be an American, but he's also proud to be Mexican. And he agrees that there's probably as many folks coming across the border now that don't want to be citizens. They want to come over and stay illegal, stay under the radar, and make as much money as they can. But they have no interest in becoming a legal citizen. Is that what you're seeing?
I don't know anyone personally, but I have heard that. And for the gentleman that you're talking about, you know, they did go through the process. So there is a respect that I believe takes place, you know, so he does appreciate being an American. You know, I guess that's more of a question. Bill, is that did he say he appreciates being an American?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was kind of funny a few weeks ago. He was telling me that there was a sale down at Costco on American flags, and he's going to hang his American flag out there. And I was really kind of proud of him. You know, he is definitely proud to be an American, but he's also proud of his Mexican heritage and where his family came from in Mexico and the culture. And
but see, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think anybody would want to take away someone's.
And that's what I'm saying. But what we also talked about was when you come to this country. There are certain things that you have to do to be an American, and part of that is assimilating our culture. And you don't necessarily turn your back on your own culture, but you can't bring all of that with you. And I think that's where a lot of the problem lies.
We're getting revamped.
They want to bring a lot of that illegal culture with them and make the money. You know, they want to have it all, but that really doesn't work.
I think it's the crime. I think that's really where people have to...
Remember, it was the old country. Remember the new immigrants, they talked about the old country, but they wanted to learn English. They wanted to be an American because this is where they could make their dreams happen. And that American exceptionalism is something to value. So, but again, they can keep some of their culture, of course. You know, it's not what we're... This is completely different, you know.
Right.
Being illegally here is totally against everything that's American.
Exactly. And I know we're kind of drifting off topic a little bit.
No, but it's important to separate.
It is. It is.
Those are two different discussions.
Correct.
You know, people coming here who have a background. Everybody does.
Well, and I think part of it, too, one thing that he discussed with me was, you know, back when his parents became citizens, once they started the process, it took about a year, or a little under a year, and they became citizens. That can't happen today. It takes years
and
years
and
years. It's just a total mess. And so
right,
a lot of them elect not to go through it.
You know, Aaron and Bill, you know, it's we're not against legal immigration.
Sure.
It's the fact that it's, you know, killing our family members. And, you know, what we've done in order to bring attention to what is taking place, we have developed a Stolen Lives Quilt Project, which is we memorialize Americans who've been killed by illegal aliens on a six-foot-long flag-like banner, 6 foot by 3 foot, and we place the photo of three Americans, their name, city and state, manner in which they were killed, and sometimes a little personal note from the family underneath the photo. And we have directors in 28 states now, and we ask each director to memorialize the victims in their state on this Stolen Lives quilt.
I think that's awesome. There's a really good picture of it. If you go to the rememberanceproject.org, click on National Campaign, you'll see National Campaign to Remember Victims Killed by Illegal Aliens, and the photo right below that are people holding those up. When we come right back here with Maria and also with Jamil, Maria, can you give us some background on maybe some of the statistics that you guys are finding in the different states that you guys are in? Because you're not just in Texas.
No, we're not just in Texas, but it is difficult to get statistics, and that's why Jamil is working on H.R. 1041.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to come back and talk about why it's hard to know what's fact or fiction, because part of our system is actually preventing us from knowing the truth.
Yeah, they don't publicize.
That's the whole rest of the show. All right, we'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Yes, serious topic with the silly music.
Well, that's from West Side Story, I believe.
I know. And you know, we heard all that stuff in eighth grade, and I mean, I don't know, that's when we heard it, eighth grade, and who knew?
Yeah, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Who knew it was going to be politics, huh? Yeah, I know, I'm so old that we had West Side Story for our eighth grade play. You are rejoining We the People Radio. We have Maria Espinoza with us from the Remembrance Project. You can find them on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. Their site is linked, and all their information is on there. It's a national campaign to remember victims killed by illegal aliens. So we're not talking about whether immigration, legal immigration, is good or bad, because obviously legal immigration is fine. It's the folks who break our laws coming here, and then after they get here, after they broke the law, then they break it some more. And this focus is specifically on people whose family members are killed by these folks who shouldn't be in the country in the first place. So there you go. That's my synopsis. Maria, save me.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you.
I just ran out of rope. That's it. That's
no,
the end.
I wanted... Pardon?
I said, that's the end. It's all you now.
Okay, thank you. You know, I want people to know, too, that, you know, we're doing all we can to bring attention to these killings. We have also, you know, not only through the Stolen Lives Quilt banners, but also in supporting Mr. Shaw and his family with H.R. 1041. We recently joined the Texas lawsuit and the 25 states against the Obama administration's executive actions through the amicus brief just about 2.5 weeks ago. And what that does is just helps recognize that and acknowledge that our families are being harmed and that the government has a responsibility to them. We're hoping to have a pilot program started in Texas where it will service citizens of illegal alien crimes, because there are special elements when a crime is committed by an illegal alien. And I'll give you an example. In Florida, there was a young lady who was killed by an illegal alien, and the illegal was hospitalized. In the middle of the night, several days later, the illegal alien's family removed this man from the hospital, snuck him out in the middle of the night, and they drove him to the border where he escaped.
What?
Now, you know, there has to be a special handling. The Border Patrol has to be called if someone is fleeing the country in order to stop that person so the family will have justice. You know, so we want to be able to work with the sheriff's office and law enforcement and the attorney general's office to be able to acknowledge that this is a special, takes special handling, and also to acknowledge that this, these terrible crimes, murders are taking place, and we just have not had that acknowledgement from the government.
Now, you had mentioned earlier 25 states. Is that how many states you're active, your project is currently active in?
Yes.
Okay.
That's great. And these are, this is a volunteer project.
All volunteer, absolutely. So if your listeners can go to the page that you mentioned, the National Campaign, and look to see if there is a state that we do not have a director in, please, they can contact us through the our website there. So we certainly need more individuals helping out and supporting our families.
And I see here you're a 501c3 nonprofit, and you can donate right on that website. That's really great. So anybody that wants to help support your cause, they can do it there.
Well, I would imagine that most, I mean, I'm guessing that people come to your project because they've been personally affected. Is that kind of par for the course, or how do people wind up becoming involved in your project typically?
Yes, some people know personally a family member whose loved one was killed, but most of them are see what's taking place and are very concerned for the safety and welfare of America. So they get involved and they reach out in different ways, like our website. You know, we just last month we were fortunate to have received 600 sign-ups, new people signing up for our information e-blast, like a distribution list, in about 10 days. And that was through because of an article that went to Drudge. And it was basically about Hispanics wanting stronger immigration enforcement.
Oh, so, that's great.
That is another demographic that we're reaching out to. Hispanics like myself who want lawfulness and who are saying for the Democrat voice that to stop saying that if you want to uphold current laws that it's racist, and that's not true. So we're getting the truth out there.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you how much it helps that you are also Hispanic. I would imagine that takes away some of the, you know, blowback, but I would imagine you take a fair amount of abuse.
Yes, we do, and, you know, Jamil does as well. You know, you think that everyone who is, you know, on this issue, who wants laws upheld, wants the Constitution followed, is racist, and that's what they'll paint it as, and that's simply not true. It's just that, you know, a lot of people don't want to speak up, Aaron. They simply, you know, they don't want to put themselves out there. And it's not a place where any of the families or any of volunteers and myself and Jamil thought we would be, five years ago. We never thought. I'd much rather be at home and, you know, going for a jog and not having to worry about these things. And I think Mr. Shaw and Althea Shaw are wonderful people, but I would rather not have met them.
Yeah. Bad reason to make new friends in another state.
And Maria, I'm just assuming that this isn't solely just a Mexican illegal problem. There's got to be other nationalities that are committing these crimes that are coming here illegally as well.
Yes, but the majority are, you know, Latinos, Hispanic, or, you know,
because
so,
the southern
yes,
border is so
there's all types, you know. All, this is talking about, we're not just saying this is not just a Mexican or
sure.
Mexico problem, but you know, they are responsible for allowing people to go through their country and reach the United States. You know, they gave El Salvadorians a 3-month visa, temporary visa, and they knew exactly what they were doing. They were allowing them to come through their country.
Mm-hmm. You're kidding.
No. They
Wow. I'm surprised they didn't give them rides.
Well, I heard a report not too long ago that there was actually an ISIS training camp in Mexico just south of the border a little ways. And I don't know if that's
exactly
ever been confirmed.
And that's the danger, too.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron, you know, earlier in the program you mentioned that every state is a border state, and that's very true. I want to give you an example as well of a true dreamer by the name of Louise Sullivan, 93 years old, in Nebraska, who was beaten to death and raped by a 19-year-old illegal alien from Mexico. He came through the border through Houston, Texas, and worked for a roofer in Nebraska and had worked in her area of town. And one night he was angry, supposedly because a young lady had rejected him, and he went in, broke into Mrs. Sullivan's home, and raped and brutally beat her to death. You know, this is a terrible crime. And again, the Sullivan family was, they were immigrants, a true American dream. The bakery that the Sullivan started is still there. You know, these are people who, you know, we're losing. We, here in Texas alone, in about a 3-month span, there were 4 people killed by illegal aliens. One was Spencer Goldbatch, a 25-year-old musician who worked 3 jobs. He employed 9 people in his little guitar shop here in Houston. He was sitting at a traffic light one night, and an illegal alien drove up beside him and shot him in the head. That illegal kill shot 4 people that night, 2 of them fatally.
I hate to even ask, but what happened to him?
This illegal alien, he was 4 times deported and spent 63 months in federal prison. And he went up against a sheriff's deputy, and the sheriff's deputy shot him. And just about in, this is June, so last month, a Splendora firefighter, again in Texas, firefighter and his wife were killed by an illegal alien drug driver now, and they had 2 young children. So orphaning 2 children, their mother and father no longer with them, and another young mother, 28 years old, same exact thing happened, a different town, illegal alien driving drunk, killed a young mother, orphaning her 9-year-old and 5-month-old baby.
Wow. Well, yeah, it used to be that most of this gang violence, let's call it, was gang on gang. And if you weren't involved, you know, it probably wasn't going to affect you. But it sounds like more and more, it's people that have no affiliation to...
No, these are people sitting at stoplights getting...
Yeah, just so, random killings.
Well, I guess what I want to... I'm always thinking about what the other... You know, what's the other side going to say, right? So, okay, Maria, if you presented that scenario and the other side that thinks that, well, these are really small examples. You know, this hardly ever happens. And so they would come back and say to you probably that, well, drunk drivers could be anywhere. It didn't matter that he was an illegal alien. I mean, I think it matters.
Oh, it absolutely matters, because that illegal alien shouldn't have been here.
Yeah. Is that the response you would give?
I've seen that. People have said that, yes. That illegal alien should not have been here in this country at that cross section when he killed that young mother. On the freeway when he killed the police officer. And, you know, the young man I mentioned to you, the musician, Spencer Goldbatch, just last month, his father was also struck in a car by an illegal alien who ran a stop sign.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and he was not able to attend a press conference because he was injured. He survived. It totaled his car. But it just tells you the problem that we have, and Americans don't even know about this.
No, they really don't. We're going to take a quick break here in a second, or we're not. Bob, give me a nod. Yay or nay? That was nay. I just didn't want to start a giant topic and then have him say we had to take a break. It always happens. So what I'm thinking is we need to talk about H.R. 1041, but I don't want to cut everybody off in the middle of the, you know, midstream here. But there is a move to get these statistics out so that we know who's committing these crimes. And do you think that actually if we know the statistics, do you think people could get over their, whatever it is, that we don't want to get tough on immigration? Do you think that would toughen people up a little bit?
I think it would help, Aaron. However, how many more Americans have to die until our legislators do something?
Do you think the statistics, we don't know the statistics right now because they aren't collecting the information or because they're just not reporting the information?
I believe they simply don't want to report the information. I believe someone knows and has these statistics, but I just have a feeling that they do know, they're just not releasing it. And that's just my opinion. I have no proof of that. However, they know, and I have to call the jail to find out if an illegal alien has an ICE hold on them. And that's another problem because a lot of times these holds drop off, and the illegal alien is able to make bail and
just walk
then
away.
He flees.
Okay, we don't know anything about what an ICE hold means, but when we come right back, you're going to tell us. Because
okay.
We should know more about that. We live, you know, far north of the border in, you know, a rural area, and so we don't deal with a whole lot of this. But,
no, but it's,
give us
it's,
some of the ins and outs of this.
It's getting more prevalent here, too.
It is. It's hitting everywhere.
Right.
But
well, look at Nebraska.
Yeah, you got to give us some lingo.
It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. We are speaking with Maria Espinoza here from the Remembrance Project. You can find them online at theremembranceproject.org. We also have another guest that we're trying not to make everybody talk at the same time, but we will bring Jamil Shaw in here momentarily. Find all the information online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. Got some real estate here in my bag. So we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pies and walked off to look for America.
I didn't know we had a criminal song in our hopper there. Never know what we'll find. You're returning to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You have everything you need to know about today's guest, the topic, and some really good links for you. Maria Espinoza is with the Remembrance Project. It's a national campaign to remember victims killed by illegal aliens because every state is a border state, as we just learned. Maria, okay, so you threw out some terms that I'm not super familiar with. The idea that there's an ICE hold on people and all that. I know there's all this tricky stuff. What happens when these guys come in here?
Yes, if there's an illegal alien who has committed a crime and sheriff's office or police department takes him in and they try to find out who he is, and they usually ask them, and if he's illegally in the country, the police department will contact ICE, and ICE will go ahead and tell them to hold this individual for them so they can pick them up and deport them, depending on the crime. And sometimes the police department will hold them and charge them and try them. they'll go to trial and they'll keep them in jail or prison. Sometimes different states will hand them over to ICE without charging them, which is kind of a bad deal because then that individual, if he's caught again, let's say he's deported, Aaron, and he comes back, he committed a crime, he's deported without being tried, and he returns, then there is no record of him.
Oh,
so we're kind of caught.
Handy.
I mean, the American taxpayer is paying either way.
So they can come over here and commit a crime, get deported, and then turn around, come right back, commit another crime, and there's no record of their previous activity.
Exactly.
Lovely. And so who's going into these detention facilities? Are these just the people who get grabbed by the Border Patrol when they're sneaking into the country? They haven't committed a crime other than that they broke into the country, which is a crime, I realize.
Right. They are. And I've heard that they are releasing them. They move them around. I don't keep track of the detention centers. I know people who do, but I am more concerned about the loss of life of Americans.
Sure.
And why our legislators are not doing anything about this. You know, one of our families, Mr. Wilkerson here from the Houston area, he had something interesting that he told the legislators a year and a half ago at a press conference. And he told them to go home and gather their children and choose which one they would sacrifice in order for someone to have a better life. And I think that was an excellent, powerful statement for this father whose son, 18-year-old son, was beaten, tortured, choked, and set on fire by an illegal alien classmate who was an acquaintance of his, whom he gave a ride home to.
He was another kid?
Yes. And 10 days before, he killed Joshua. It's Joshua Wilkerson is the victim. The illegal alien was standing in front of a judge right down here just outside of Houston. Now, if everyone involved had done their job and this illegal alien had been detained like he should have and for removal, Joshua would still be here today.
Yeah, because you don't know how dangerous these people are until you actually do a background check and find out who they are. We have no idea who these people are.
Well, that's true, Bill. However, look at this. This young man, who was a classmate of his, did not have a record other than a recent charge of harassing his ex-girlfriend. And that's a serious crime as well, because he was chasing her in the car down the road.
Yikes.
We won't get into that problem.
That's a problem.
However, during the trial, on the stand, this Hermelio Morales kept saying that it's his culture. It's his culture. So what does that mean to us?
Yeah, what was his culture to do stuff like this?
Yes.
Whoa.
So, it's not our American culture. Granted, we have criminals here, but we don't need to be importing crime.
Well, I don't think. I think if the truth were known, that's not their culture either. I think,
you hear
a lot of excuses, and that's a pretty weak excuse. We were talking earlier about H.R. 1041, Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina. Do we have many allies, or are you working with legislators that are on board with this?
Well, let's introduce Jameel.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I know you guys do interviews together. We've never done one with you guys, so we should just let you guys run it. You know better than we do. We're just trying to learn. So,
you're doing great.
So I just didn't want it to be super confusing at the beginning. So we kind of have talked big picture. So let's look at specific stuff and connect it to this legislation. Jameel, I've only talked with your sister, so I haven't spoken with you, but welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting.
Absolutely. We're actually sorry to be meeting you, too, in a, nice sort of way. I mean, we would rather that you were doing something nice with your son. Unfortunately,
That would be nice. So.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, people always say that. I understand both ways,
Ugh.
But yeah, it's
Yeah.
Pits.
It is the pits. And so yeah. Your family was affected by an illegal alien you didn't know, and he was
right.
a gang member.
Right. Documented. Not just, hey, I'm in the gang, I want to be, or, I'm just a bad kid. But no, he was documented and was in the gang database, which is run by the FBI.
Now, terrific.
What town are you in, Jamil?
We're in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, okay.
Los Angeles, California.
Well,
right.
We certainly know there's gang issues down there, and...
LA is... matter of fact, if you go to the LAPD website, the official Charlie Beck, the chief of police website, he has on there that LA has 400, just a city, not the county, LA has 450 gangs.
What?
45,000 gang members. And they advertise that like it's, hey, look at LA, hey, we got 450 gangs.
Well, that's...
I said, well, what are you doing about it? They should be telling people, what are you doing to get that 450 to zero?
Right.
Yeah. And this this guy was he would have fallen the other kid he actually had just gotten out of jail, right? It was like a Saturday night and they let him out of jail just like see an illegal alien gang member who just got out of jail, go loose.
Like he was at a YMCA camp. I used to work at a YMCA camp when I was in junior high school. And that's how he left, the same way. Got on the bus. Okay, see you next year. All right, take it easy. He left out of there when they knew they should have had what they call a officer of the day, which is a probation officer. It's usually your last person you see before you go out the door. He's there to discourage you. Like, hey, as soon as you get out, you got to check in. You got to do this. You got to do that. Take your BS, your ASS home. Go to sleep. Don't go over your homeboy's house. All this stuff they're supposed to do. That person wasn't there, so.
But he was an illegal. If he was an illegal, why was he even released? Wouldn't he have been on the bus to?
Yeah, we
should have called ICE. That was he lied. Of course, he was on his third gun charge. I mean, come on, you have liberals fighting over law-abiding citizens to have guns, and you have a legal alien on his third gun charge. Now he's been arrested 3 times already for possession of a firearm. 3 times.
And how can you...
one that he's on now for assault with a deadly weapon, battery on a peace officer, resisting arrest, and they only gave him 8 months in the county jail and let him out 4 months early. Why you didn't send him out, put him in jail, what you do everybody else in the United States that's caught with a gun 3 times,
Yeah.
That's automatic, I know people who are in jail for guns that they didn't even have on them. They just was like caught in a situation where it was like gun on the ground. Police came up. Whose gun is that? Not mine. It's like, well, it's yours, That's how they do it. It's your gun. Says you're the closest one to it. We think it was yours. And you go to this. He went to jail for like 4 years. now here you got illegal alien on his third gun charge. One of them... two of them was he was using the gun to commit some kind of crime or assaulting someone.
Unbelievable.
The first one, he just got caught with it in his pocket. He had put schools on lockdown from stabbing people. Now, you have this guy in your custody again. After all that, he's 19 years old, and what do? The same old thing. They just let him out because there's no big deal because they just feel like that's what everybody... Nobody's paying attention, so it's just like, hey, it's just like dumping bad water when nobody's looking into the drain,
Exactly. Well, it's a bonus of living in a sanctuary city, too. We need to take one more quick break, or we'll be up against the top of the hour. Just in case folks are thinking that maybe their blood's boiling and they should probably turn this off, you should actually probably not turn this off because the story takes another twist when we add the political characters to this. This is the part that will just make you... chew the steering wheel off your car if you're listening to this while you're driving. So put down the coffee. You're not going to need it. You are listening to We the People Radio. We'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Far, we've been traveling far without a home.
those are only, the music only plays for the people who do it the right way. The other people, no music for you. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We have all sorts of information for you on today's topic, and we're heading up to the top of the first hour. This will continue on the second hour, however, because there is a ton more to talk about. And if you are listening in Philadelphia, the second hour will be played next Tuesday for you guys. We're going to get you the whole show this time because you should hear all of this, too. I'm sure it's affecting your city as well. So just to let folks know what we're talking about next hour, Jamil, give us a little snapshot of what happened with your political folks in your town.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Your sister. I was speeding. I was talking to her while I was in the car driving, and I realized I was going like 85 miles an hour. I was so mad.
They're like, what? I mean, starting from the very beginning when my son was murdered. Of course, you know, they just assumed that I was a liberal at the time. I never even thought too much of it, but I probably was. But I wasn't one of those flaming liberals. I just voted Democrat. That was pretty much it. My mother was in the union, and, you know, she was a board of directors, so she was pretty, you know, pretty up there in the union. So they probably figured, oh, wow, it's a union family, liberals. We can go over there and pretty much work the gun. What they wanted to do with me, it was obvious they wanted me to be anti-gun. That was the main thing. Want to be anti-gun. I love illegal aliens, and we're all brothers and sisters, and these damn guns, you know, we just, you know, and that's the problem. But, of course, I wasn't like that, you know, when they first came to me. Of course, we went from the mayor. The mayor came to my house. I mean, all the city council, board of supervisors, the senators who were around. I think Dianne Feinstein didn't come, but she was active in the family, Maxine Waters, everybody. It was, you know, it was like a who's who of BSers, you know. Be truthful if you look at it now. The who's who, they was all here, but no one was documented because, you know, it was just happening just in the spur of the moment. So it was just, you were just on the fly learning. And, you know, initially I thought, wow, this was beautiful because it seemed like everybody cared. And, you know,
sure.
I remember hollering in the street when it happened. My sister was saying that I was hollering. He's just another dead, you know, another dead black person. In a couple of days, he'd be gone like everything else. You know, here it is, almost 8 years, and he was still talking about it. But, I was really happy at first, you know. And then as they started bombarding me, and, you know, of course, when you're in that kind of good death, I call it the death realm.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not even thinking. Your mind is like, you're totally being transformed, you know, because I call it being reborn, because after that person dies, your clock starts counting again. Everything else stops, and now you're going 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You know, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. So at that time, I was considering myself a baby. So I was just learning and seeing, you know, trying to figure out who am I. And all the politicians and everybody would say this and say that, say this. And, you know, at first I was doing it. I remember looking back on it, I was kumbaya, and, you know, blacks and browns got to come together. All that crazy stuff, which is true. We need to come together. But, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about. I was just, you know, just talking.
Sure.
And then the started coming out, what was going on, illegal alien. Somebody said, yeah, it was 2 Latinos, you know, even before I was talking like that, the evidence started coming out, and they knew it was all calculated, and after a while they knew, this is not going to change in the course.
This isn't going to play
this
well.
This isn't going to work out. Oh, and then it turns out.
The mayor came to my house, and asked me to get on some board, and you're going to make all this money. Man, I don't care about no money. I want to hurt somebody. My son is dead. I care about some money, you know. So, of course, that didn't work. And city council, everybody was offering me stuff that the average person probably would have took. It's obvious in the black community, that's how they do it. And everybody's just, oh, okay, I'll take it. And they go on. But me, you know. So, yeah, I even talked to the Governor Brown. Looked at him right in his face, talked to him about what happened to my son. He looked at me like, man, you must got me confused with somebody who gives a damn. That's the look. That's the look that he was giving me. Like, I don't care, you know.
Oh, that's
so, yeah, it was obvious. And
super,
of course,
super sincere then, huh?
I realized what happened, to how to cover up and how they were doing me.
and I realized I got to come out this grief spiral sooner than I had to, because if not, I ended up telling them what they were going to do to the family, because they knew, they know how grief works in L.A. Everybody did, it seemed like.
Sure,
sure.
So they know what's going on. They sent the same people around, and, you know, I'm black.
Hold that thought, Jamil.
People around, hey, what's up, all right.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to carry them over into the next hour, because we're out of time on this hour. Hold that thought. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the rest of it, because another little piece of the puzzle, Jamil's mom was actually fighting in the armed forces, in the army, in Afghanistan. So there's all sorts of pieces of this puzzle. We'll finish her off next hour. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.